Welcome to Home Group. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm here with Denise Renner and Joe Renner. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. It's so good to be with my parents.
It's so good to be together, and I welcome you, Home Group. We're so happy to be with you.
Well, people have been asking some questions about money, and so today we're going to talk about different things related to money, but I want to start with a testimony. When I grew up, I was never taught one thing about money. My father really struggled with paying the bills. He was not a good money manager. He was a good man. My dad was not wasteful. He just was not gifted at handling money. And so the only thing I really remember about money as a child was that everything related to money was so stressful, so stressful. And my least favorite day of the week was Thursdays, because Thursdays was payday. And on Thursdays, our family would all get in the car as a family, and we would go to the Safeway, and we would shop. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the stress as mother and daddy were going down the aisle, putting items in the cart, and my dad was under such stress about money, 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 money. Can we pay for this? Can we do this? And then when we would get home from the grocery store, daddy would sit at his little desk and would pay bills. Now, my sisters have the same memory that I have. It was like a cloud of gloom hung over our house on Thursday nights. I hated Thursday nights because it was so heavy. And I remember as a young guy feeling guilty if I needed new shoes or if my parents would take me to the store to buy me jeans, and jeans were not very expensive back in those days. And thank God we had a friend that had three sons, and I got a lot of hand-me-downs. But I mean, just the whole issue of money in our home was very, very stressful. And my dad was not a faithful tither. My mother was a giver, but my dad was not a faithful tither because he didn't know how to give and pay the bills. Just the whole subject of money was just really stressful in our home. And so, for example, I can remember when the Tulsa State Fair took place. My dad would give me a dollar. Well, how can you go to the fair on a dollar? But just giving me a dollar was such a stressful thing for him to do. He would give Rhonda $2 or $3. Just money was just such a stressful issue. And no one ever taught me one thing about money. Never had any, never was taught how to manage money. So when I went to college, I made every financial mistake you can make. I didn't know anything about money. I didn't know how to manage money. I didn't know how to pay bills. Let me give you an example. Are you ready for this? I had a phone bill. So I needed to pay the phone bill. I didn't have any money. But I did have some silver dollars from 1888 that were given to me by my grandmother. I had eight of them. I thought, well, I guess I can make a payment on my phone bill. So I went to the phone company and pulled out eight silver dollars from 1888 to make an $8 payment on my phone bill. And I can remember making the payment and the woman looking through the teller glass at me saying, "Sir, are you sure you want to pay your phone bill with these silver dollars from 1888? I said, "Well, it's $8, isn't it?" She said, "Well, yeah, technically it is." Who knows what was the value of those $8? And I spent them like I was making an $8 payment on my phone bill. She probably pocketed them and put $8 against my bill. I just did not have a clue about money. Didn't know how to manage a checkbook. I did not have a clue how to manage a checkbook. And so when Denise and I got married, Denise was a little bit older than me. She had a little bit more experience with money than me. But I carried all that lack of information into our marriage. And Denise and I, we get paid. We didn't make much. We'd go out to eat. We did not have the money to eat out. But I just didn't have enough sense about money back in those days to know when you make as little as you make, you shouldn't be going out to eat. And then because we wanted to win the waitress to the Lord, we gave her an enormous tip. And then we would walk out of that restaurant and think, how in the world are we going to live until the next payday? I just didn't have any common sense about money. And I had to learn. And for us to learn, We submitted ourselves to a man in our church who talked to us about money. And I'm telling you, it was tough. But we had to learn. And we learned late in life, and today God has entrusted us with a lot of ministry. If we had not learned the basics about money, we could not be doing what we're doing today. Management is essential to success in life. Learning how to manage money, it's essential to being a success in life. And so even though it was hard, I overcame me, and I learned a lot about managing money and managing finances. That's my testimony. And the reason I'm telling you this is because if you've made mistakes, it's not too late to learn. You can learn. You can repent. And you can learn. And you can become a good manager with what you have. And the truth is, you could probably make what you have go a lot further. The Bible says there's food in the tillage of the poor. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Which means the poor, they know how to get food even out of the leftovers. And God will show you how to make things stretch even if you don't have a lot. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you what to cut. He'll show you where to spend, where not to spend. And by the way, don't forget to tithe, because tithing opens the window of heaven over your life. You don't tithe if you have enough. You tithe first. You tithe first. And to this very day, Denise will tell you, Joel will tell you, in our life, that's the first thing we do. In fact, we have fixed it so that we cannot fail to tithe, because we understand that's a divine principle, and we are going to obey that. That keeps the window of heaven open in our lives. Joel, do you have anything to say?
I think that for a lot of people, finances can be an embarrassing subject, like as if that doesn't make them, it makes them worse than other people. But our value shouldn't be in our income or where we live or how we live. It should be in who we are and in what the Bible says about us. So it seems like that's an embarrassing, finances can be a very embarrassing subject to people.
Well, Joel, I'm going to tell you, when your mother and I got married and all I could afford was to put $1 of gas in the gas tank, and we had a car that was given to us that literally guzzled gas. And 1 week I ran out of gas 5 times. It is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Well, now that sounds funny. But I bet back then giving $1 to the teller was embarrassing.
And, well, guess what? If you run out of gas, you got to go back in those days, you had to have a payphone. That means you had to have a quarter to call somebody to come help you, or a dime. I think it was a quarter by that time. I mean, the whole thing was embarrassing. And it's really a bondage. And so when you learn how to handle money, it brings a lot of freedom into your life. It brings a lot of relief into your life. And you may have to do with some less to be free, but hey, it's really good to be free. Denise?
Well, I'm thinking of two things. I'm thinking, if you don't know about finances, then there's so much wonderful teaching.
Oh, so much.
So much wonderful teaching that is available to us now. And to submit yourself to some wonderful person who knows a lot more than you do. There is wisdom in submitting yourself to somebody who knows more than you do. A lot of wisdom. And you get to benefit from what they know by listening and doing what they say. That's wonderful. And then I wanted to say something about the tithe, because I love to read it, because it says in Malachi chapter 3, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, verse 10, that there may be food in my house. And then it says, and try me in this. God says, try me in this. That's amazing. And then he says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. God is not trying to keep things from us. He's trying to get things to us. And the one way he gets things to us is by us tithing. And it, Rick, isn't it? I think you said there's only 3 times in the Bible where it says that there's an open heaven.
It's very few times.
But here it is. It's an open heaven. When we tithe, God opens. I'm going to read it again. Open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out on you such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. This is God's word, and he doesn't lie. And when we do what he said, we test him in this, we give our tithe, God begins to bring those blessings. Now, it might not be that somebody walks up and gives you $1,000, but you might go someplace and everything for you is on sale. Or you might go someplace and somebody does give you money. Or you might look somewhere and you find, well, this is a great idea. We should do this.
Or a debt be canceled.
God knows how to give to his children.
So, Joel, I have a question. I'd like you to answer it. If a person is in debt, how should they begin the process of getting out of debt?
First of all, I would suggest you list your debts. A lot of people have like 5 or 6 credit cards or 3 different loans, and they don't know what the most current balance is. They don't even check. They just make the minimum payment and hope it lasts till next month. I would suggest you list. It really does take some education. It's not hard. It just takes some intent. You need a piece of paper, pencil, and you need to go online or wherever you get your bills, and you need to list your debts. You just need to get that information to start with. And to get out of debt, you need to cut your bills. You need to realize this is serious. This is taking away my opportunity for the future. And once you understand that, you have a desire to get out of debt. It's not just a minimum payment here and there. No, this is stealing from your future, because you could be using those minimum payments or whatever you're paying to build a future for yourself and your children. And so I would recommend you list those debts from smallest to largest, and start with the smallest one. Get that quick win. You know, get that little fox out of your life. Just knock it out. Get that emotional feeling like, wow, I achieved something today. And then start on the second one and work your way through the whole list. And mathematically, it might not be the smartest way to go through the list, but emotionally, it definitely is. And once you get that victory feeling, you'll want to keep on going. And you'll see a fast, it'll start to build up and won't take as long.
Joel, I see another question that's been given to us. This is about saving, investing, spending responsibly. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I would suggest, and I'm sure this is what the person told you who helped you guys out, is that you make a monthly budget every month before the month begins. That means that, you know, on the 25th, you sit down with your spouse or just by yourself, and you write out food. How much do I need on food? Okay. X amount. How much is utilities? Okay, I spent this much this month. Next month, it'll probably be the same. And you go through that list, and you want to start with the most important things, which is transportation, your house, food, and clothing. I mean, those are really the most essentials. Everything else, it depends on what kind of situation you're in, is negotiable. And if you have children, there's a whole other list of factors you need to bring in. But you need to start with the most essentials and just start to sit down and write those things out and think. And sometimes it can be a challenge. Sometimes you realize, wow, I got a lot more money than I thought I had.
Well, one area where disposable income is just people that go and buy a cup of coffee. They go to a coffee shop, they get a latte, they do it every day. It's $5, $6. They don't realize how much money that they're, it just seems like a little bit at the moment, but actually over the space of a month, it's a lot of money.
Oh, certainly.
And there's lots and lots of things like that.
Certainly, but I would definitely suggest you just sit down and think, list your debts. If you don't have any, congratulations, that's a big deal. List your expenses, most important ones. Make sure those are taken care of. And then see what else you can spend money on. But you need to create a budget every month before the month begins, because if you don't tell your money where to go, it will just go places that you don't want it to go. And that's what I would definitely recommend. But I have a question for you both.
Okay.
Whenever you submitted yourself, when you got married, to that gentleman or whoever it was who helped you with your finances, what was that like?
Well, it was an envelope system, and I despised it. I just despised it. First of all, just to keep track of the envelopes. And then when you run out of money in one envelope, we had learned you can't borrow from another envelope. It just required a lot of, it was required a lot of discipline. But you know what? We came to a moment when we crossed a bridge in life. And it's like something changed in our thinking about money. And I literally had a moment where I said, Denise, I literally said this, from this moment forward, I will be a good money manager. I took it by faith. And you know, from that moment forward, everything changed. I took it by faith and was committed. And that's really when our ministry began to grow. And I lived with a calculator. I mean, I had the calculator in front of me every day, not because I loved it, because I was really trying to carefully manage. I knew that if we were going to expand, if we were going to grow, that we had to be careful with what we had. It just brought the whole change into my mindset. But I had to take it by faith, Joel. And it really happened in a moment. I just made a decision from this moment forward. I am not going to be a man that wrestles with money. I am going to be a good money manager.
Absolutely.
And even today, to do everything we do in the ministry, we have to be very careful. I mean, we have to be very careful. We have regular financial meetings all the time to see where we're doing good, where we need to cut back. I mean, the Bible talks a lot about management. And anything that's going to grow, it's got to be managed. It grows, it changes. And you need to be hovering over it with prayer, really bathing what you do in prayer. Denise?
Well, I was thinking as you were giving our testimony, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so you believed in your heart that you were not a good money manager.
I wasn't.
I know. And I know that. And but you know, we need to educate ourselves on what the Word of God says and seek for knowledge. Seek, not just settle for our bad image that we have in our mind, but seek for knowledge. Seek for somebody else that knows more than you know. Seek for what the Word of God says. And the Bible says if we seek, we're going to find. And He's going to get the information to you that you need.
I mean, when Paul was a little baby, even the first years of his life, we never bought anything new for him. Every toy we ever bought him came from a secondhand shop. And some of the toys that we bought for him were broken. We bought him broken toys. We were just really living very destitute. But that moment came when we changed how we thought, and we decided to really apply ourselves to wisdom and to learn. Turned everything around for us.
Well, the Bible says very clear, the lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, people perish.
They perish.
And so I think it's important to get knowledge and experience.
Joe, you've learned a lot about finances. How have you learned?
Oh, I enjoy a wonderful gentleman. Maybe you've heard of him before. His name's Dave Ramsey. And he is just as practical as it can be and very honest. And his principles that he's learned himself have not changed, I don't think, one inch in his whole career, and they have helped, with no exaggeration, millions of people, and I'm one of those recipients.
Joel is the CEO of our ministry, and Joel, we regularly talk about finances.
Of course.
We don't serve for money, but money is an instrument so that you can do what God's called you to do.
Absolutely.
And even today we had a meeting talking about money. Where are we spending money? Where can we cut back on money? How can we do the best with what God has given us? And you know what we've learned? We've learned that every time we've made a correction, it's resulted in increase. God really honors it when you do what is hard. Or if you've made a mistake, or maybe you've just learned that you could do something better. God always honors that. And it's always resulted in increase.
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't take a lot to make a big difference.
Oh, and it may be a very minor correction.
Yes, it doesn't take a lot to make a big difference. It can be one little thing that you just tweak or change or do differently, and suddenly your life is already better.
I think that sometimes people think, well, money is not spiritual, but money's very spiritual. Jesus talked about money a lot. Jesus knew that Judas was taking money out of the treasury. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. mean, Jesus knew about money and he didn't apologize for talking about it. And it's part of our spirituality, our responsibility to know about money, to know about the bills, to know about what you can do and what you can't do.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
Jesus promised us an abundant life. Was he speaking only about the future in heaven? This is a question we received. Or does he include that right now in our real life?
He includes it right now. You know, in heaven, it's going to be a different game. We're not going to worry about paying the bills. We need abundance right now. It's for right now. And God does not want us to skimp through in life. You know, the Bible tells us in 3 John, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospereth." You know that word prosper means? It's the Greek word which means, literally, it means to have enough money to pay your bills and also to go on a vacation and enjoy yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
That's literally what that word means. And in the first century, they measured your prosperity by your ability to have enough income to go out and do something to enjoy yourself. And John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things." He was expressing the heart of God. He was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to be in health. God wants us to prosper. I'm not saying every person's going to be a millionaire, but God wants you to be able to enjoy your life. That's really what it means. And, you know, Jesus set us free from every imaginable curse. Sometimes people are self-cursed. They're self-inflicted problems, like we're talking about, because they don't know how to handle money, they don't know what to do, they make mistakes, and they just keep repeating them again and again and again and again, and they're in a cycle that just keeps replicating itself again and again. You got to break the cycle. One way you break it is by giving your tithe and by giving offerings. That really breaks it. But you also have to learn, which is what Joel's been talking about. Listen to Dave Ramsey or go to the bookstore, find some good books, speak to somebody at church that can help talk to you about finances. And by the way, it requires humility. It requires humility to change. You have to admit that you need help.
I have another question. And a lot of people, some people, they have a problem with their income. You know, they're trying their best, they're working their hardest, but their income is not very much.
Right.
So this person's asking, how do I pray for a job that provides a better income?
How would you answer that?
How would I answer that? I know God wants us all to have good income. He wants us to live a great life. But I think that it might require us to do something, maybe to get a higher education or to learn a new skill. It could require you to get a second job while you're learning those things. And I know that to do anything extra in life, you need to do something different. You can't do the same thing and expect different results. You have to change something to get different results.
And that might require humility. You may need to talk to somebody and get some counseling to help you. Hey, when you get the help, you'll be very glad that you humbled yourself to ask. You'll like the results of help. Denise?
Well, I'm thinking about myself. A few years ago, I started listening to somebody, and she was much younger than me, but she knew more than me. And I said, I want to listen to that lady, and I want to learn from her. And I started taking what that lady had to say, and it started bringing good changes in my life. And when we submit ourselves to maybe somebody younger than you, like Joel mentioned Dave Ramsey, he's amazing. When you submit yourself to somebody who knows more than you, you're only submitting yourself to a winning plan.
Well, just to be honest, Joel's very gifted when it comes to finances. I mean, he's very, very gifted. And the Lord told me to listen to my son. And I mean, Joel's half my age. But hey, you go where you can get help. And Joel is such a gift to me. And thank you, Joel.
Oh, that's so precious.
Thank you for really applying yourself to learn so much and to help me and your mother to responsibly do our ministry around the world. And that we can really say to our partners that we are very faithful with what they give. And we are.
And Joel, we're the recipients of all your study and all your dedication. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be with you.
Well, I hope this has been helpful. You know, sometimes finance is kind of a touchy subject for people, but boy, we sure understand. And we're testimonies that you can change, you can grow, that God will give you more and more and more. And if you need prayer for your finances, please reach out to us because we'll pray for you. We understand. We will really pray for you. And we believe Jeremiah 33:3, that God hears us, he answers us, and he shows great and mighty things. And I believe he's got some great things to show you in the area of finances. But we're out of time. Joel, thank you for being with us.
Yes, sir.
Denise Renner, thank you for being with us. And we speak the life of God to you, and we say grace and peace be to you. Bye-bye.
Please like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends so more people can see it.